Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I actually say, in the 50 years that I have watched the Atlanta Braves, I have never said this. Welcome to an 11 o'clock hour in the morning, and the Braves start in 30 minutes. Yeah, that never. No, first time ever. I got to believe. I know maybe they had a makeup doubleheader that they had to start at 11:30 one morning 50 years ago. I have no idea. But yeah, they're having an 11:30 start baseball brunch breakfast over at the ballpark today. Weird. So a lot going on, a lot of countdowns on too, because tomorrow is July. A reminder that 24th of July is going to be a big date. It's the date that the Falcons report for camp, also the first day of the Olympics. And since the Falcons are going to report in just over 3 weeks, we have some updates here headed to camp, and we wanted to bring into the program the co-host of the Wait For Tailgate Show, our guy who covers the Falcons out at Flowery Branch Forest, can be kind of my eyes and ears in this day and age, and my friend Joe Patrick to fill us in on a few of the kind of issues that are surrounding the Atlanta Falcons right now. Hey, Joe, what's up?
John, it's good to be with you, man. I was at a lady night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night, of course, with the Falcons play. It was a crazy, crazy ending to that one, but yeah, I got Falcons on the mind too, because it's not going to be long before we get ramped up here.
All right, so yeah, because I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, Joe covers football of all kinds, okay? And so when it comes to Atlanta United, the only problem with what happened last night is they can never do that play again, ever. Because every keeper's going to, no, I'm looking around. Is somebody sucking water out of my water bottle? They're all going to be looking over their shoulder, right? I mean, so it was a one-time, but it's the damnedest thing I think I've ever seen, that goal.
It was unbelievable. I mean, John Herdman, the coach of Toronto, said that that's the kind of goal that you see once in a lifetime, basically. And you never want to see it if it's obviously your team, because it's just complete. It's the most avoidable error you could possibly make. But, you know, it's kind of like it's like completing a Hail Mary, but like times 100, I think, just because it requires a level of, I guess, just stupidity from the opposing goalkeeper that you really need in that situation. But yeah, I thought the whole thing about like drinking a little bit of his water before he came also was just a little cherry on top of that whole situation. So yeah, obviously kind of an unforgettable ending to a game that I don't think anybody will forget if they were involved.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, there's no reason that the referee couldn't have blown the whistle when the keeper's on the ground with the ball.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure,
the game's over.
Yeah,
and there's no reason that he couldn't have blown the whistle.
If that ball gets kicked away, the whistle's blowing for the end of the game. Like, that's it.
Right.
there was no other action to be had except for what happened.
I mean, so it wasn't just in stoppage time. The game was literally over. I mean, the game's over.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
He throws it on the ground. All he has to do is touch it. If he touches the ball, the game is over. Touch, game over.
Yeah.
Oh, you stole it. Yeah, it's too late. Game over. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. If you haven't seen it again, it's up all over the X Twitter. It's on my Twitter. I'm sure it's on Joe's Twitter as well. So you can go look at it. What Jamal Tiari did is just inexplicable. Had that been for a championship, it would have been the greatest play in Atlanta sports history.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding. It would have been the greatest play in Atlanta sports history. So let's get to the Falcons. I have a lot of questions for you. I want to update the fans. Again, tomorrow being July, camps open in 16 days, 17 days from now in the NFL. And the very first question I want to ask is, we have been, as we've discussed in this offseason here, and I pointed out earlier in my discussion about the Braves, how the Braves and Brian Snicker are saying, yeah, well, you know, we want to, you know, we're going to win the East. And I'm like, okay, that isn't setting the bar high enough. Raheem Morris started saying the word Super Bowl, Super Bowl, publicly. You know, in 6-8 weeks ago, he started saying Super Bowl. Mike's job is to learn. Kirk's job is to get us to a Super Bowl. He'd not meant some words here. Is there something about speaking that into existence that is going to, you're either seeing or will resonate with this team?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a level of that has to happen for the Falcons team. And I'm talking about the coach or the leader. It could be Kirk Cousins as well. Just any, like, the leaders on the team really setting high expectations for this group, because, you know, just having covered the team, been in that locker room for the last couple of years, you do wonder if there's an actual belief within the entirety of that locker room that actually believes they're as good as, you know, they like to think they are. But when you look around that locker room, there aren't a ton of guys who have had a lot of success, because it's a lot of young players who this team has drafted. And obviously we know that the team itself hasn't had any real success, you know, getting the playoffs and whatnot over the last handful of years. And, you know, the player, you know, you have some leaders who have, you know, had some success. Jake Matthews, Grady Jarrett, obviously been on those Super Bowl teams. But I think that's why, and, you know, coming from those guys too, it's important for them, everybody, to really set the bar high, because that's going to be required. And I don't think that these players have really experienced what those expectations are, what that level of requirement is for a real championship caliber team. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go out and win the Super Bowl. I think that those have to be kind of where you're ultimately setting your sights, because if you're not, then you're never going to have a chance to ultimately accomplish something.
What you said makes perfect sense, but isn't there a kind of a next level to that? And the next level to that is, it's not just wishful thinking. I think the next level to that is that Raheem Morris, game coordinator, 2016 Falcons, you know, he's on the Falcons team at the Super Bowl against Brady. He's at the Rams, you know, winning the Super Bowl. I think he's, you know, his experience when he eyeballs the team and looks at the team and sees this team and starts saying Super Bowl, what he's saying is, hey, by the way, guys, this is legit.
Yeah. I've been there. I've done it. I've won the Super Bowl. I've lost the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I've been there. And I think that Raheem Morris kind of embodies that pedigree, the championship pedigree that you feel like you have if you're going to be one of those teams. And it's hard to manifest that, you know, like out of nowhere. If you're Arthur Smith, you're your first year it's your first head coaching tenure. You know, you can't just kind of like fake that kind of experience and know-how and just kind of mojo that it takes to really kind of be that leader of guys who are going to actually win a championship. Raheem Morris can do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's a little bit more unafraid to, you know, say some of these things, like you said, like to kind of put the Super Bowl out there in the ether, because, you know, the guys can look at him, like you just said, John, and like looking in his eyes and really know that he believes it when he says it.
Yeah, because he's looking around the room, and I think the guys are nodding their heads going, they're looking around the room too going, yeah, Grady's looking around the room going, yep. Kirk's looking around the room going, yep. We mm-hmm. got, there's no reason this team stays healthy and performs that this team can't win. Forget, you know, I'm out here, you know, just little old me saying 10 wins in the NFC South, and I think the team is looking around here going, no, Fergie doesn't know what he's talking about. We're 12 to 13 wins. This is a Super Bowl team.
You know? Yeah, John, and I think Kirk Cousins, talking about the pedigree, I think Kirk Cousins has a large part to play in that too, because it's one thing to put together what you think is a talented roster and whatnot, but have you know, let's just say a guy like Desmond Ridder, a second year, unproven starter in the NFL leading your team. I think that for the buy-in for the locker room, it becomes a lot easier when you have a quarterback who's been around the league forever, or what feels like forever, and who is in himself a really good leader and can be that kind of rising tide that lifts all boats, at least on the offensive side of the ball and on the defensive side of the ball, frankly, because he's not going to be turning the ball over as much as Desmond Ridder did last year. So I think that, all these Falcons moves kind of play into it. I think if the team was just kind of going into the season with Michael Penix as their starter, it would be a little hard for some of these guys to truly believe that they had the ability to reach these heights. And so, of course, I don't think any of our expectations would be nearly as high if they didn't have Kirk Cousins in, a proven guy, a guy who's shown that he can win, double digits in the regular season pretty routinely at this point in his career. So I think that, all these elements of what the Falcons have brought in, these major acquisitions that they've made over the course of the offseason, all those things kind of play into lifting this level of expectations that, again, not just the fans have for the team, but I think that they have for themselves.
We're talking with Joe Patrick, John Fricke with Joe Patrick here, live on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Falcons camp July 24th. Again, we remind you that it will not be open to fans this year because of all the construction in Flowery Branch. There will be two live Falcons practices, one at Second Year High on the 27th, I believe, and then, of course, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I think, on August the 2nd here. I believe I have those dates correct. And I want to let you know that as we get close to them, we'll certainly pass those along. They'll be open to the fans. That we will, as a station, be there every day of camp. Well, I won't be because I can't drive there, but everybody else will be. I'll be there in spirit.
I'm ready to get my tan on, John.
Get your tan on. And Joe will be there here. Joe, you can stay another quick segment with me, right?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Okay. The only reason I say that is because I've got to get into this Kirk Cousins thing that I'm going to ask the fans here. I'm going to ask you first, and we have to have a discussion about it. So one quick question before we get to the break, and then we'll bring Joe back to talk about this Cousins thing that I want to talk to all of you about, is are we, the fans, the Falcons, are they going to do a pre-camp move for a veteran starter? And we've heard all the rumors at edge, at corner, at safety, at wide receiver. Are they going to do a pre-camp move or not?
I kind of don't think so. I think that this is basically the roster they're going in with. Now, I think there is a decent chance they could make a move like during camp because you never know what might present itself with injuries and then other players around the league, potentially not, finding the spots in their rosters. There's always just roster shuffling that happens. But I tend to believe that this is the team that they're going to go in with. And I think that by doing so, they're kind of signaling that they're not, like, for what we just said about the Super Bowl, they're not, they want to get to that level on the field and in the way that they, kind of approach the game on a weekly basis, but they're not going to push the roster in a way that's going to leave them, like, in a desperate situation where they really feel like they have to reach a Super Bowl in these next kind of 3 years or something. I think that they want to leave themselves a long runway of competitive football where they will have a chance, and Michael Penix draft pick goes into that as well, and they're just not going to kind of put this, like, tilt this roster to the extent where they're going to be hampered in the years to come. So, and I think that they also, there's an element of, there's a lot of young players on this defense, young players who clearly have not fulfilled their potential to this point, and I think that part of the kind of gambit of bringing in Raheem Morris into this situation is that he's going to be the guy who can really coach up these young players and scheme them up, along with Jimmy Lake, obviously, on that defensive side of the ball. But Raheem Morris showed it as a defensive coordinator in L.A., where he had a ton of young players last year, and that defense was not expected to be good at all. They still weren't great, but they were at least acceptable. And I think that that's what this team is looking for on the defensive side of the ball, where most of those questions are in regards to, like, could they go out and sign one of these free agents who's still available?
All right, Joe Patrick, who's my co-host with Harper LaBelle on the Wayford Tailgate Show. Our Falcons reporters agreed to sit through this short break here and come back. When we get back here in a moment, I'm going to read a CBS story in regards to Kirk Cousins. Want to get Joe's take on it, and then I'm going to be taking your calls on it, because I'm curious if I'm misreading something here. Because if I'm misreading something, I need to know. Because I just do, as a Falcons fan. CBS says I'm misreading it. So we'll see what Joe has to say about what CBS said and what you have to say about what they said next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We have the Church of Football underway. By the way, just an odd, kind of an odd, interesting end of June today. What with Joe Patrick's joining us here. That's not the odd part. That's not the odd part, Joe. We have baseball beginning in about 10 minutes. And a game that most people can't even watch because it's a Roku game. And then, of course, we have Joe. The ratings tonight, beginning at 8:30 tonight on NBC, are going to be bonkers for this women's gymnastics.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those times of summer. Usually it's a pretty dead time, you know, when you're kind of baseball is kind of the only thing going on, but not this year because we've got the Olympics, which is obviously, you know, people are so passionate about. I feel like this is going to be the biggest Olympics, I feel like, than there's been the last couple of cycles. I feel like people are starting to get really into it. And then also you got all this summer soccer going on with all the stuff that was happening, obviously here in Atlanta on that front, but you know, all over the world, there's a huge interest in that. Feels like there's a lot more going on this time of year than there typically is.
Yeah. And football camps and on and on and on, British Open, whatever happens to float your boat. There's a lot going on. I'm going to read a story here. This is something that I want all of you out there to line up and react to at 404-726-0929. It's an article in CBS, and the reason I'm asking Joe and you is it's about quarterbacks. It's called Quarterback Leap Week. Quarterback Leap Week. And I read it, and I went, okay, what am I missing here? And I want Joe to tell me what I'm missing because I feel like I'm missing something. Some of the headlines here, and I'll just start with Joe. I'm going to kind of go through this. If at any point you want to stop me, it'll take me about a minute and a half to go through it. Bryce sure. Young and Caleb Williams can take a leap in 2024. Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. I don't know how Caleb Williams takes a leap. He hadn't played yet, but all right. So I guess he takes a leap. Justin Herbert set to take a leap, according to CBS, with new head coach Jim Harbaugh. Well, okay. All right. Probably a little less at wide receiver, but sure. Kyler Murray set to take off with improved wide receiver room. All right, fine. Patrick Mahomes set to take off with improved wide receiver room. Wait, Patrick Mahomes set to take off with improved?
Take off.
Yeah. Wait.
He's flying. He's flying higher than anybody right now.
Wait. So, CBS says that Patrick Mahomes finally going to take off as a player. Oh, good. to my watch.
No, okay. Imagine what we're going to see. I mean, wow.
So then they isolate three quarterbacks. CBS does and says, will these quarterbacks take a big leap this year? Number one, Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. CBS says likely he will take a big leap this year. Agree or disagree, Joe?
I disagree. I think that the Jets are the team I'm fading the hardest maybe this year out of all. I just don't see that situation going well. I honestly haven't thought Rodgers was that great in that final season in Green Bay. Obviously, there was a lot of kind of turmoil on that front too. But, it's just with everything going on with him, I'm just like more of the I'll believe it when I see it camp, to be honest.
All right. Russell Wilson with the Steelers. CBS says, will he take a leap this year? Maybe.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm really surprised he's in Pittsburgh with Arthur Smith. He just does not seem to me. I mean, Arthur Smith, he runs a modified version of what Shanahan, of this kind of quote unquote Shanahan offense, which is heavy play action, a lot of quarterback under center, among the most in the NFL. You see the Falcons are right up there last year with teams like the Rams and 49ers and such. And that is just not Russell Wilson's game at all. And frankly, it's not Justin Fields' either. So I'm kind of also fading the Pittsburgh situation. They're in a really tough division as well. I just don't see them kind of having – I don't see them things going right for Russell Wilson, especially with the way we've seen his career trend the last couple of years.
All right, even if I went with them, CBS, that it's likely that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a huge year. Maybe Russell Wilson has a huge year. Even if I went with them on that, we get to the third quarterback, and will they take the leap this year? And that's Kirk Cousins. CBS says, will Kirk Cousins take a leap with the Falcons? They say unlikely. Unlikely. And here's what they say. Cousins was in the top 10 in the NFL, touchdown passes and passing yards before tearing his Achilles in Week 8 last year. True, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The CBS goes on to say, I think it's safe to say he's not going to elevate from a top 10 passer to an MVP contender going from the Vikings to the Falcons. Atlanta certainly should take a leap going from Ritter to Cousins, but Cousins is taking, quote, a step down in offensive infrastructure going to the Falcons. The author says, I like Drake London and Bijan Robinson, but there's only one Justin Jefferson. I want to go back to this line. The Falcons are going, that Cousins is taking a, quote, step down in offensive infrastructure. I can't tell you how much I disagree with the author's conclusion here, Joe, because the Atlanta Falcons' offensive infrastructure includes an offensive line that is rated anywhere from number four to number two as the best offensive line in all of the NFL, in an offense that has weapons all over the field and not just one guy to concentrate on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, listen, like, Atlanta obviously doesn't have a wide receiver like Justin Jefferson. And even
they don't.
The whole wide receiving core, you know, when you include Justin Jefferson as part of that, it's hard to beat what he had in Minnesota, and I don't think Atlanta does, to be honest. But I think that there are so many other things that are going in Kirk Cousins' favor in Atlanta. Not to say they wouldn't have necessarily gone in his favor in Minnesota, but to speak about the offensive line really quickly, first of all, it's like, you know, that quarterback's documentary, like the whole Cousins kind of narrative was centered around this injury that he took from this really big hit. Because he's playing in front of a really shaky offensive line. The offensive line has a couple good players, but a couple of really not good players either. And this Falcons offensive line is much more kind of well-rounded with stable pieces across that front five. And I think that it's interesting when you get into these kind of conversations and opinions about quarterbacks like this, you know, like are things set up for Kirk Cousins to like have his best statistical career of his year of his career? Probably not, you know, coming off the injury, all this stuff, but I think that he's set up to maybe be on as successful of a team that he's been a part of in the last several years, you know, because he's got that offensive line, he's got a running game that's going to support him, and, you know, I don't think he's necessarily even going to want to be a quarterback who drops back 40 times a game. I think that if you were to ask him, he would say, you know, I want to kind of not be throwing it as much because that means the team is having more success. And ultimately, when it comes down to, like, who are the best quarterbacks in the game, if the Falcons, you know, let's just say that everything does kind of go right for them and they are a very good team and you know, Kirk Cousins has kind of his normal Kirk Cousins numbers, which aren't gaudy but solid. I think that people will still think of him as one of the best quarterbacks in the league just because of the team, the success that the team is having, which is obviously kind of spearheaded by his role as the quarterback.
Well, not only that, but he's got a running game. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and,
oh, yeah.
And you've got
much
and you've got a
better running game than he had in Minnesota.
Right, and you've got a head coach who was the passing game coordinator of the most effective mm-hmm. passing game in the history of the Atlanta Falcons in 2016, who's going to implement, which is why the elite process of the whole Kirk Cousins thing is he looks at this offense, Raheem does, and sees Kirk Cousins and sees Matt Ryan. He sees Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier maybe as an upgrade over Freeman and Coleman. He sees maybe not as good a wide receiver because you don't have a Julio, but he sees a Drake London who's kind of Julio light, and he has maybe a better tight end, and he has an offensive line that's equal to. He looks at this 2016 offense, looks at this offense, and says, I can do the same thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yeah, like, I get why people say are kind of doubting Kirk Cousins, but I'll tell you, just having been around him, like, you never really know physically how he is until he steps into a game situation, but I have to believe that he's going to be, like, very confident and ready to go based on, first of all, what we've seen at training camp, but also just the way that he is talking about himself and his body and like, kind of where he is. He's just ahead of, frankly, where he thought he was going to be when he, you know, suffered the injury. And, there are landmines for sure for Kirk Cousins, and there are for pretty much every quarterback. But, you know, especially when you compare him to some of these other guys we talked about, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I mean, like, I would very much bet on Kirk Cousins against either of those two guys, whether statistically or as far as the team results go. I just think that he's going to have a better year. And, like, I think it's worth mentioning that he was having the best season of any quarterback in the NFL by the time he hurt that Achilles last year. He had 18 touchdowns and 4 interceptions through like 8 games and change. He threw for more touchdowns last year than Ritter did. How about that? Then he only played in half the team's games, essentially. So he still clearly has an ability to distribute the ball. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the league, but he never has. And it's, you know, it's all about that ability, like you said, with Raheem Morris, with his guy Zach Robinson as the offensive coordinator, devising all this stuff with guys running over the middle of the field, which the team didn't, you know, throw a lot of last year, even though they wanted to. I think that, you know, Kirk Cousins is going to be so much more effective in doing that. And I think something you're going to see this year, John, which we didn't really see a lot of last year, is a lot more opportunities for these guys to do damage running after the catch. So, like, I think you're going to see a lot more of an ability for this team to get the ball to Kyle Pitts, to get the ball to Bijan Robinson in space where they can then, you know, it's not like Kirk Cousins has to do anything super special other than being precise with his ball location so those guys don't have to break stride, and then they can get some of those quote-unquote easier yards that happen out of the catch, whether that's just kind of like running forward, you know, diagonally after catching a drag route and picking up an extra 5 or 10 yards, or Bijan Robinson, you know, breaking somebody's ankles and taking it to the house. I think that's the kind of offense we're going to see more of this year.
I know you can't mention everybody, but Joe, I've been trying to explain to some people, you know, who don't watch and haven't watched Big Ten football, that had Rondale Moore played at Alabama, you would be jumping up and down that you have Rondale Moore on your team.
Oh yeah, I remember him. I'm an Ohio State fan. I remember watching him when he was
single-handedly
at Purdue,
beat Ohio State.
He was so dangerous.
Yeah, you couldn't touch him. I mean, it was like, if he had played at Alabama, you would be going, we have Rondale Moore. I mean, you know, I'm just telling you, you would. Okay, so real quick, one final thing here, because I wanted to make sure that I was, the idea that some, thank you for editing that, New York writer would say a step down in offensive infrastructure says to me, again, I don't think they're paying attention. The untold story right now is, they're not paying attention to what Raheem Morris, this is why Raheem Morris is saying Super Bowl, because I don't think they know what's coming. And I don't want to be a homer, but I just don't think they know what's coming here. How much of Kirk Cousins will we see in these 3 preseason games, given the fact that, you know, Joe, there's so much chatter about, you know, in the past of not getting the team ready. You have a brand new quarterback to get him ready with, and yet at the same time you want to protect him. How much do we see him in these 3 preseason games in order to know that when they line up against Pittsburgh, all right, click, go?
This is going to piss people off. I don't think we see him at all. I think if we do see him, it's probably for one series. And, You know, I think the reasons for that are kind of obvious. They're the reasons that every coach has for, which is you want to prevent an injury. And also something I think not enough people take into account with this is that also if you're removing offensive linemen, you're starting offensive linemen from the game, then you have to remove your quarterback pretty much as a head coach, because what if a back you sub a guy out, you take Jake Matthews out of the game because he doesn't need so many preseason reps. You put in a backup left tackle, the left tackle gets beat and sacks Kirk Cousins, and then Kirk Cousins suffers an injury. That is something that you cannot come back from as a coach. So I don't think he will play much in preseason. And frankly, in my opinion, I don't think it really matters much because, you know, these guys, especially Kirk Cousins, the guy who's been in the league for so long, he's going to have these guys ready to play in week one. Like, he's going to have his guys on his P's and Q's. If there's anybody who pays attention to detail as a player, it is Kirk Cousins. So I don't think he'll play. I don't have much of a problem with it, to be honest.
All right. Yeah. Well, Joe, I'm looking forward to the year. I'm looking forward to this season. I'm so excited. I appreciate your getting up early on a Sunday and joining us. And you and I will be talking. Here we go. I mean, yep, tomorrow's July, Joe.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. There we go.
All right. Thank
you, Joe. Joe Patrick, our Falcons reporter, insider, co-host of WayForward Tailgate Show and all that kind of good stuff. And as we continue here, I just wanted to check myself because me being a homer and all that kind of good stuff, you know, you're a homer. I wanted to make sure I wasn't just reading this wrong, because the Kool-Aid drinker, keeper of the Kool-Aid, driver of the bandwagon to me, that dude wants to go ham on what I think these Atlanta Falcons could be. I didn't, but then Raheem talked me into it, and the more he talked me into it, hey, I'm going to run with him. I think maybe everybody, including this dude, is missing a step down in offensive infrastructure. No. This is a step up in offensive infrastructure from the Vikings. Yeah, we don't have Justin Jefferson. We got everything else. All right, 404-726-0929, or am I reading it wrong? And dude is right. You tell me. So a couple of questions about the Falcons, a couple of questions about the Braves. Let's rock and roll here for a couple hours on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, so here we go. The rest of the way here, between now and 2 o'clock this afternoon, all right? Clear the decks out, and I have questions for you at 404-726-0929. How bizarre is this? As we get to the questions here, it's 11:42 in the morning, okay? And the Braves are playing baseball. The game's underway. And I can't watch it because I don't have Roku and I don't have the MLB extra innings thing because I'm not paying for MLB extra innings. I'm not paying for the season passes anything. Because I would never do that, because I would never watch a baseball game that the Braves are not involved in. Do you understand? It just, no, I wouldn't watch the Arizona Diamondbacks play the Colorado Rockies. I wouldn't watch the New York Yankees play the Baltimore Orioles. I wouldn't watch the Brewers play the Giants. I don't care. I mean, I care about Braves games, and that's it. You know, I'm a Braves fan. The rest of it, I don't, whatever. Just tell me, what was the score? Okay, that's all I care about. So I'm not going to spend any money. There are a couple of sports where I will watch teams that are not named my teams. I will watch college football, a bunch of college football games. I'll watch SEC games. I did play-by-play at Wake Forest, did play-by-play at Chattanooga, did play-by-play at San Diego State. So I have ties to those schools. And, and go Mocs, go Deeks, go Aztecs. So I've got some, personal friends that are, involved in all those teams. So I've got some rooting interest in those teams. And so I'll watch, but I also just a big college football fan. But I won't watch random baseball. I'll watch random NFL games where my team isn't involved. Suddenly there's a game between the Seahawks and the Broncos. Yeah, okay, I'm kind of watching. But not so much baseball. That didn't work that way. Okay, and just I'm not going to watch a random baseball game. We get a hockey team in town. I'm not watching a random NHL game. I'm just going to watch our team. I'll watch whatever. Hopefully, Atlanta Flames. That's what I would call them. And dare Calgary to sue me. 404-726-0929. Here are the two biggest questions for you. God, the Braves game's underway. This is weird. The two biggest questions I have for you about the Braves are: today is game one of the second half of the season. What has been the biggest surprise to you? Yesterday was the halfway point for the Braves, last team to reach the halfway point. What was the biggest surprise of the first half? Was it the power outage? Was it the fact that even though they're seven games back in Philadelphia, they're 46 wins on pace to win 92. They're 4.5 games up in the wild card. Is it the biggest surprise that they're still in this, leading the wild card? You got the manager saying they're still going to win the East despite all of these injuries and everything they've had to overcome. Is that the biggest surprise? Is the biggest surprise, as Eric Slaughter said, the quality of the starting pitching without Spencer Strider? This is a Braves team that could put three starters onto the All-Star team. I don't know that all three will make it, but you can make – certainly Sale's going to make it. You would think that Lopez would make it. You can make a case that Max should make it. They could potentially put three starting pitchers into the All-Star game. They may not, but, I mean, you have three guys that could be legitimately considered to be in the All-Star without Spencer Strider. Three starters not named him. Is that the biggest surprise? Is the biggest surprise Marcelo Zuna and Jarred Kelenic at the top of the lineup and the job that those two have done? Is the biggest surprise, in my opinion, that this team, for the first time since they showed up at Truist, has played with a lack of joy? That there's something missing? Maybe it's Ron Washington and EY. I don't know. But this team does not play with the kind of abandon and joy that it has in the past. And you can't fake that, by the way. You just can't fake it. It's got to be organic. I was hoping this whole teddy bear thing might take off. To me, part of that's on the Braves for calling it Snip Bear. Nobody knows what the hell a Snip Bear is. I mean, I know if you're Braves, it's Brian Snicker and Marcelo. I get that. But that doesn't – no kid wants to play with a Snip Bear. He wants a rally teddy. Rally teddy! You know, like yesterday, we would have had all the rally teddies up, you know, and win it in the 10th inning. Rally teddies up, rally teddies up. You know, I mean, run with something. And so what was the biggest surprise of the first half? And it could be anything for you. And what are your expectations now as the second half has now officially begun with game number 82 underway? Brian Snicker says, we're going to win the East. We're going to win the East. That's what he said. That's not my expectation. My expectation is that they're going to win the World Series. And no, it's legitimately my expectation because they damn well better. Because I expect nothing less than them. Yeah, that's how high I set the bar, okay? Now the Falcons. There are two questions on the Falcons that I have for you. Of course, do you agree with this author that Joe and I were talking about Kirk Cousins? He says, CBS, in Quarterback Leap Week, that it is unlikely that Kirk Cousins will take a leap with the Atlanta Falcons. Cousins is taking, quote, a step down in offensive infrastructure. Do you agree with that? Because I don't. Not in the slightest. Yeah, we don't have a Justin Jefferson, but we got everything else. I don't think he's taking a step down in offensive infrastructure. I think he's taking a step up. A big step up. But maybe I'm reading this wrong, and you could walk me through it. And by the way, I could be. I'm not arguing with you. Of course, the same author that said that Patrick Mahomes is set to take off this year. What? Okay. But anyway, he says Aaron Rodgers will take off with the Jets. It's likely that I'll take a big leap this year. Well, I guess from last year when he didn't play, sure. Russell Wilson, maybe he takes off with the Steelers this year. I guess. You know, that is how intriguing, and you know, that opening game. That, you know, that I was saying 3 months ago, I said, you know, when all this kind of came down 2 months ago, when it all came down, I said, watch, the NFL is going to put Pittsburgh in Atlanta for the opening game. Because it was perfect. And of course they did. You got Arthur Smith coming back. You've got Russ against Kirk. You've got, we talk so much about Justin Fields. You've got the Steelers. I mean, how intriguing is that game going to be? Because everybody, you want to talk about an opening game overreaction? Oh my God. It doesn't matter. Both fan bases are going to overreact to that game. The Steelers and the Falcons fan bases are going to overreact to that opening game like nobody's business. If the Steelers wipe the Falcons off the face of the earth, then the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl, right? And the Falcons, they suck. They got to fire everybody. And the converse of that is true. If the Falcons come out there and they obliterate the Steelers, that's not going to happen. Well, you know what? I think the Falcons are actually better than the Steelers. So, yeah, I think it could happen. And they're at home. So, I mean, they're favored to win. I would expect the Falcons are going to win the game. And I know some Steeler fan out there is gagging, but I got news for you. I'm not sure your team's all that good. Okay? I mean, they're good, but all I got, you know, and I don't think they're bad. I wouldn't trade our team for yours. Okay, you do you. I get it. Russ Wilson versus Russ Wilson and Justin Fields versus Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. I think I'll go with our guys. I'll take my chances. Unlikely, he says, of Kirk Cousins. So how do you fall on that? And I'm just kind of curious here. Also, the other question is Falcons Wire, which is one of the big blogs, it's USA Today, Falcons Wire is out there saying Bijan Robinson could be a dark horse MVP candidate. Now, I think all of us understand that Bijan could explode this season, and I think my question to you is this. Notwithstanding whether he can be an MVP candidate, not whether he explodes this season, do you think that it's possible that Bijan Robinson is the second best running back in the entire NFL? I'm just curious where you stand on that. If I said to you, and I'm not saying this to you, but I'm saying to you as a talking point, is Bijan Robinson the second best running back in the NFL? And I'm asking that because I'm trying to get a line on it. So do you agree with it's unlikely that Kirk Cousins takes a leap this year, that it probably, when he says unlikely, Kirk Cousins taking a step back? Now, again, we don't know about total health here, but sure looks like he's going to be 100% healthy. Bijan Robinson, so Falcons Wire saying why Falcons running back Bijan Robinson could be a dark horse MVP candidate. I'm asking you if you think that Bijan Robinson is the second best running back in the NFL. Because I think he might be. Okay? 404-726-0929. But that's why I want your opinion here on the Braves and on the Falcons. Let's go to O-Dog. O-Dog, what is shaking? Welcome to the show, O-Dog.
What's up, Freaky? Hey, my brother. I'm trying to get the South Side to give you a nickname, man, because I think I'm trying to start. We're going to start calling you Freak Nick. Because... You know, sometimes your topics.
Why?
Are wild.
No, let me guess. Let me guess. O-Dog, it's one of two things. It's either I'm a party or I got to be canceled.
You're Freak Nick. So I'm telling you, man, because your topics are like leave traffic jams in my brain. Just to let you know. but according to the Braves, I think my biggest shock was the loss of Acuna. Like, when it happened, I'm thinking, a lot of people start panicking and start thinking, oh, we're not going to make the playoffs. I say, y'all just calm down. I would rather have a power outage that you described of than to have a part where your pitching isn't doing as well. Because as you know, John, when the postseason comes, pitching is the one thing you really need to have in the postseason, because a lot of times those bats kind of calm down. But if you got good pitching in the postseason, I can still see us going all the way to the World Series. If we win it, I don't know.
You know, what you're saying is accurate, but at the same time, isn't it interesting in a way that when you think back to the World Series, right, they went in as a wild card team. That team only won 88 games in the regular season. But how did they win the World Series? They didn't win it with pitching. They won it because they slugged their way there. It was home runs. It was Freddie against Hader. Right. It was Rosario against the Dodgers. It was Duvall with a granny. It was Soler hitting the third pitch of the World Series out, and then a moonshot that today hasn't landed. I mean, it was really – they beat the living hell out of everybody.
What I'm looking at, maybe I'm wrong, maybe correct me, John, but a majority of World Series are one to pitch. I think that's just a microcosm of, like, what happens in World Series, like, in playoffs. Generally, in playoffs, pitching is what dominates you go to win and be in the World Series. I think that year, it was just a special year for us, when us get the pitch with the hitting that we did. And I'm not saying that hit is not going to do it, but if I had to put my money on us winning the World Series or going to where we need to be this year, I would put it on pitching this year, not so much as hitting, because hitting can always, you can always fade with that. But with pitching, good solid pitching, good three starters for the playoffs, I'll gamble on that before anything else.
I'm not arguing. And O-Dog, I'm with you here. So what are your expectations for the second half? Brian Snicker says we're going to win the East. That's what he says. I'm like, yeah, that's not good enough for me.
Yeah, Oh, you know, honestly, John, I don't even care if we win the East, because what I've noticed for the past, I'm just starting to notice a trend. Teams that are, like, barely make it to the wild card, they're the ones that are winning World Series. It's like the teams that are, like, in the low 90s and wins and in the wild card, they're the ones that are going all the way to the World Series and winning it. And I don't care. Listen, I just want in September, I want everything to start clicking.
All right, so here we go. The rest of the way here, between now and 2 o'clock this afternoon, all you, all right? Clear the decks out. And I have questions for you at 404-726-0929. How bizarre is this? As we get to the questions here, it's 11:42 in the morning, okay? And the Braves are playing baseball. The game's underway. And I can't watch it because I don't have Roku and I don't have the MLB extra innings thing because I'm not paying for MLB extra innings. I'm not paying for the season passes anything because I would never do that because I would never watch a baseball game that the Braves are not involved in. Do you understand? It just, no, I wouldn't watch the Arizona Diamondbacks play the Colorado Rockies. I wouldn't watch the New York Yankees play the Baltimore Orioles. I wouldn't watch the, you know, Brewers play the Giants. I don't care. I mean, I care about Braves games and that's it. You know, I'm a Braves fan. The rest of it, I don't, whatever. Just tell me, what was the score? Okay, that's all I care about. So I'm not going to spend any money. There are a couple of sports where I will watch teams that are not named my teams. I will watch college football, a bunch of college football games. I'll watch SEC games. I did play-by-play at Wake Forest, did play-by-play at Chattanooga, did play-by-play at San Diego State, so I have ties to those schools, and go Mocs, go Deeks, go Aztecs, so I've got some, you know, personal friends that are, you know, involved in all those teams, so I've got some rooting interest in those teams, and so I'll watch, but I'm also just a big college football fan, but I won't watch random baseball. I'll watch random NFL games, where my team isn't involved. Suddenly there's a game between the Seahawks and the Broncos. Yeah, okay, I'm kind of watching. But not so much baseball. That didn't work that way, okay? And just, I don't. I'm not going to watch a random baseball game. We get a hockey team in town, I'm not watching a random NHL game. I'm just going to watch our team. You know, I'll watch whatever, hopefully Atlanta Flames. That's what I would call them. And dare Calgary to sue me. 404-726-0929. Here are the two biggest questions for you. God, the Braves game's underway. This is weird. The two biggest questions I have for you about the Braves are, today is game one of the second half of the season. What has been the biggest surprise to you? Yesterday was the halfway point for the Braves. Last team to reach the halfway point. What was the biggest surprise of the first half? Was it the power outage? Was it the fact that even though they're seven games back in Philadelphia, they're 46 wins on pace to win 92. They're 4.5 games up in the wild card. Is it the biggest surprise that they're still in this, leading the wild card? You got the manager saying they're still going to win the East despite all of these injuries and everything they've had to overcome. Is that the biggest surprise? Is the biggest surprise, as Eric Slaughter said, the quality of the starting pitching without Spencer Strider? This is a Braves team that could put three starters onto the All-Star team. I don't know that all three will make it, but you can make, certainly Sale's going to make it. You would think that Lopez would make it. You can make a case that Max should make it. They could potentially put three starting pitchers into the All-Star game. They may not, but I mean, you have three guys that could be legitimately considered to be in the All-Star without Spencer Strider. Three starters not named him. Is that the biggest surprise? Is the biggest surprise Marcelo Zuna and Jared Kelnick at the top of the lineup and the job that those two have done? Is the biggest surprise, in my opinion, that this team, for the first time since they showed up at Truist, has played with a lack of joy? That there's something missing? Maybe it's Ron Washington and EY. I don't know. But this team does not play with the kind of abandon and joy that it has in the past. And you can't fake that, by the way. You just can't fake it. It's got to be organic. I was hoping this whole teddy bear thing might take off. To me, part of that's on the Braves for calling it snip bear. Nobody knows what the hell a snip bear is. I mean, I know if you're Braves, it's Brian Snicker and Marcelo. I get that. But that doesn't – no kid wants to play with a snip bear. He wants a rally teddy. Rally teddy! You know, like yesterday, we would have had all the rally teddies up. you know, and win it in the 10th inning. Rally Teddy's up, Rally Teddy's up. You know, I mean, run with something. And so what was the biggest surprise of the first half? And it could be anything for you. And what are your expectations now as the second half has now officially begun with game number 82 underway? Brian Snicker says, we're going to win the East. We're going to win the East. That's what he said. That's not my expectation. My expectation is that they're going to win the World Series. And no, it's legitimately my expectation because they damn well better. Because I expect nothing less than them. Yeah, that's how high I set the bar, okay? Now the Falcons. There are two questions on the Falcons that I have for you. Of course, do you agree with this author that Joe and I were talking about Kirk Cousins? He says, CBS, in quarterback leap week, that it is unlikely that Kirk Cousins will take a leap with the Atlanta Falcons. Cousins is taking, quote, a step down in offensive infrastructure. Do you agree with that? Because I don't. Not in the slightest. Yeah, we don't have a Justin Jefferson, but we got everything else. I don't think he's taking a step down in offensive infrastructure. I think he's taking a step up, a big step up. But maybe I'm reading this wrong, and you could walk me through it. And by the way, I could be. I'm not arguing with you. Of course, the same author that said that Patrick Mahomes is set to take off this year. What? Okay. But anyway, he says Aaron Rodgers will take off with the Jets. It's likely that I'll take a big leap this year. Well, I guess from last year when he didn't play, sure. Russell Wilson, maybe he takes off with the Steelers this year. I guess. You know, that is how intriguing, and you know, that opening game that, you know, that I was saying 3 months ago, I said, you know, when all this kind of came down, 2 months ago when it all came down, I said, watch, the NFL is going to put Pittsburgh in Atlanta for the opening game. Because it was perfect. And, of course, they did. You got Arthur Smith coming back. You've got Russ against Kirk. You've got, we talk so much about Justin Fields. You've got the Steelers. I mean, how intriguing is that game going to be? Because everybody, you want to talk about an opening game overreaction? Oh, my God. It doesn't matter. Both fan bases are going to overreact to that game. The Steelers and the Falcons fan bases are going to overreact to that opening game like nobody's business. If the Steelers wipe the Falcons off the face of the earth, then the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl, right? And the Falcons, they suck. They got to fire everybody. And the converse of that is true. If the Falcons come out there and they obliterate the Steelers, that's not going to happen. Well, you know what? I think the Falcons are actually better than the Steelers. So, yeah, I think it could happen. And they're at home. So, I mean, they're favored to win. I would expect the Falcons are going to win the game. And I know some Steeler fan out there is gagging, but I got news for you. I'm not sure your team's all that good. Okay? I mean, they're good, but all I got, you know, and I don't think they're bad. I wouldn't trade our team for yours. Okay, you do you. I get it. Russ Wilson and Justin Fields versus Kirk Cousins and Michael Bennings. I think I'll go with our guys. I'll take my chances. Unlikely, he says, of Kirk Cousins. So how do you fall on that? And I'm just kind of curious here. Also, the other question is Falcons Wire, which is one of the big blogs, it's USA Today, Falcons Wire is out there saying, Bijan Robinson could be a dark horse MVP candidate. Now, I think all of us understand that Bijan could explode this season, and I think my question to you is this. Notwithstanding whether he can be an MVP candidate, not whether he explodes this season, do you think that it's possible that Bijan Robinson is the second best running back in the entire NFL? I'm just curious where you stand on that. If I said to you, and I'm not saying this to you, but I'm saying to you as a talking point, is Bijan Robinson the second best running back in the NFL? And I'm asking that because I'm trying to get a line on it. So do you agree with it's unlikely that Kirk Cousins takes a leap this year, that it probably, when he says unlikely, Kirk Cousins taking a step back? Now, again, we don't know about total health here, but sure looks like he's going to be 100% healthy. Bijan Robinson, so Falcons Wire saying why Falcons running back Bijan Robinson could be a dark horse MVP candidate. I'm asking you if you think that Bijan Robinson is the second best running back in the NFL, because I think he might be. Okay. 404-726-0929. But that's why I want your opinion here on the Braves and on the Falcons. Let's go to O-Dog. O-Dog, what is shaking? Welcome to the show, O-Dog.
What's up?
What's up, Freaky? Hey, my brother, I'm trying to get the South Side to give you a nickname, man, because I think I'm trying to start, we're going to start calling you Freak Nick. Because, you know, sometimes your topics
It's one of two things. It's either I'm a party or I got to be canceled.
You're called Freak Nick. So I'm telling you, man, because your topics are like leave traffic jams in my brain. Just to let you know. but according to the Braves, I think my biggest shock was the loss of Acuna. Like, when it happened, I'm thinking, a lot of people start panicking and start thinking, oh, we're not going to make the playoffs. I say, y'all just calm down. I would rather have a power outage that you described of than to have a part where your pitching isn't doing as well. Because as you know, John, When the postseason comes, pitching is the one thing you really need to have in the postseason because a lot of times those bats kind of calm down. But if you got good pitching in the postseason, I can still see us going all the way to the World Series. If we win it, I don't know.
You know, what you're saying is accurate, but at the same time, isn't it interesting in a way? That when you think back to the World Series, right? They went in as a wild card team. That team only won 88 games in the regular season, but how did they win the World Series? They didn't win it with pitching. They won it because they slugged their way there. It was home runs. It was Freddie against Hader. Right. It was Rosario against the Dodgers. It was Duvall with a granny. It was Soler hitting the third pitch of the World Series out, and then a moonshot that today hasn't landed. I mean, it was really. They beat the living hell out of everybody.
What I'm looking at, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you correct me, John, but during the World Series, I think that's just a microcosm of, like, what happens in World Series, like, in playoffs. Generally, in playoffs, pitching is what dominates you to go to win and be in the World Series. I think that year, it was just a special year for us. With the hitting that we did, and I'm not saying that hit is not going to do it, but if I had to put my money on us winning the World Series or going to where we need to be this year, I would put it on pitching this year, not so much as hitting, because hitting can always you can always fade with that. But with pitching, good solid pitching, good three starters for the playoffs, I'll gamble on that before anything else.
I'm not arguing. And Odog, I'm with you here. So, what are your expectations for the second half? Brian Snicker says we're going to win the East. That's what he says. I'm like, yeah, that's not good enough for me.
Yeah, you know, honestly, John, I don't even care if we win the East because what I've noticed for the past, I'm just starting to notice a trend. Teams that are like barely make it to the wild card, they're the ones that are winning World Series. It's like the teams that are like. In the low 90s and wins and in the wild card, they're the ones that are going all the way to the World Series and winning it. And I don't care. Listen, I just want in September, I want everything to start clicking. I want the bats to start heating up. I want the pitching to remain like it is. And we can start having that September, October, and at the end November run, that's all I really care about. Just maintain what we're doing, but get those bats working by September. If he got to go get some bats from another team, do some trades, I don't care. Just something got to change, and I don't know what to do. I'm not a manager. They're not paying me money. I'm on my couch watching these games with a bowl of cereal, so I couldn't tell you.
I'm with you. I appreciate it, O-Dog. All right, hang on, Kareem. Hang on, everybody else. Your calls are next. The breaks on this show are short, and this is your show, your chance to weigh in. Two questions about the Braves, two questions about the Falcons. If you want to weigh in on either of those or you want to talk about something else, again, your show here. The two Braves questions, biggest surprise of the first half, now that the second half of the season is officially underway this morning because they're already playing baseball. You know, the power outage was the biggest surprise, starting pitching without Strider. Still in it as well as they are, 92-win pace with the injuries, Ozuna, Kelnick, and what do you expect of the second half of the season? That's the second question. Two questions for the Falcons today. Is Bijan Robinson the second-best running back in the NFL? And is CBS right that says that Kirk Cousins will not take a step up this year because the Falcons lack an offensive – it's a step down in offensive infrastructure coming to Atlanta. All right, those are the questions. 404-726-0929 on Sports Radio 90 Time of the Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.